is good. Someone say amen. Amen. Anybody in this room ever grow things? Farmers? How many farmers in this room? Or grew up on a farm? How many gardeners in this room? Ah, picked up the rest of it. How many could care less? Okay. How many go, I not only am not one green thumb, I'm none green thumb, right? Anyway, the bane of every farmer and anybody who gardens and works soil, the absolute bane are thistles, weeds, and thorns. Say, thistles, weeds, and thorns, oh my. Thistles, weeds, and thorns, oh my. Native vegetation, no matter where you live, thistles, weeds, and thorns, oh my. Nettles are nasty. You know, we get nettles up here. I don't know if you had them in Yuma, but boy, we get stinging nettles here. You got to be careful about stinging nettles. Don't walk into a pile of stinging nettles because you'll carry them with you the rest of the afternoon. They do sting badly, and so you want to handle some of that stuff with gloves, and it's just horrible stuff. Why would a loving God produce such horrible stuff? Have you ever wondered that? No. Well, it wasn't God's fault. It's man's fault. Let's take a look at some scripture this morning. I'll tell you the title here in a few minutes, but I bet it has something to do with the blood of Jesus. What do you think?
Yeah.
Right there on your... Yeah, there you go. Great. Where do these things come from? As we take a look and turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter 3. I've got all the scriptures up here, but I'd love you to see it in your own Bible, especially. Genesis chapter 3, and I'm reading from the New King James. Genesis chapter 3, and I'm going to read verses 17 through 19. Genesis 3, 17 through 19. From where do they come? Weeds. Thistles, weeds, and thorns, oh my. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife. There you go, guys. That's all the verse you needed. That divided the camp right away. Some of you ladies looking at me like, hey. All right, because you've heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Read the next phrase with me, please. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. Oh my! And you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Well, what's up with that? Because of sin. Because of sins, man's work would now be by the sweat of his brow, with struggle and pain and frustration and some agony. A little bit of joy, but a lot of agony at times. In the presence of God, when they lived in the Garden of Eden, it wasn't that way. There was ease and joy and creativity and peace and life. Church, let me ask you a question. Anybody in this room ever sin? I thought I could get someone to agree with me. All right, like me, in the times you've sinned. How many know what the judgment on sin is? Death. How many know that if you die in your sins and you don't surrender your life to Jesus, where does that judgment lead? To hell. How many would rather go to heaven? Okay. But if you don't get that covered over by the blood of Jesus, there is a determined place. Aren't you glad that God didn't wipe out man from the face of the earth right at that moment because we deserve far worse than just a little bit of struggle in our life. Come on, church. Anybody in this room ever have any struggle? Can you be honest with me? Anybody ever not have any struggle? Let's see that hand and you come up and finish the message. Okay. All right. We know what it's like to have a struggle. Church, we deserve far worse. See, understanding the love of God is crucial. But you appreciate it far more because you understand you deserve judgment and separation from God. The Bible says your sins have separated you from God. And I deserve so much worse than what I get. Mercy is not getting what I do deserve. Grace, getting what I don't deserve, a gift. Mercy, not getting what I do deserve, death and punishment. Now turn to each other and say, I know you deserve it. And me too. Me too. We all do. We all do. Sin brings death. But God has a plan. God can even use a thorn bush. Anybody ever hear anything about a burning bush? Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. So we know where thorns, thistles, and weeds come from. We see it as a result of sin, seriously. And then we go to the burning bush. Let's see, can God use the worst that happens? Exodus 3, verses 1 through 4. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a... From the midst of a
bush.
So he looked and behold, say it with me please, bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said,
here am I.
A good thing to say to God when you feel like the Lord's trying to talk to you, stop long enough to say, here am I, Lord. Here am I. I want to listen. All right, let's see that out of the Darby version. Watch this out of the Darby version. And the angel of Jehovah appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a thorn bush. And he looked and behold, the thorn bush burned with fire. Can God use even bad things? A thorn bush. How many want thorn bushes in your yard? I didn't see a show of hands. No, me neither. And the thorn bush was not being consumed, though it burned with fire. Moses said, let me now turn aside, see this great sight, why the thorn bush is not burnt. And Jehovah saw that he turned aside to see. God called him out of the midst of the thorn bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, please sit with me, boom it out. Here am I. Now some say, literally, that some of these very dry bushes and thorn bushes in the heat of the desert will catch a spark sometimes and literally burst into flame. This thorn bush, however, was not consumed. God spoke to Moses and he called to him out of the midst of this natural circumstance. Moses' first 40 years were spent where?
In Egypt.
At the finest. Fed with the finest food, had the best education of the day, the best robes, lived in the nicest place. Then he murdered a man because he wanted to defend an Israelite when he understood his own background. And the next 40 years, where did Moses spend? In the wilderness, in the desert, tending sheep. The interesting thing is, we see Moses content before the Lord. Can I ask you an honest question? Is there anybody in this room really content? Come on, you added the conditional. In Jesus, yes. But how many are just content with your circumstances? They're perfect. Come on, you just have perfect circumstances. What's the content of your content? That was a little throw in there for free. Okay. But what happens is, God can even use difficult circumstances to call to us, to reach our soul, to give Moses a calling. You know, I would anticipate that murdering someone would not be a good leadership training move. Someone say amen or oh no. How many think that Moses might have thought, if he ever had an inkling of thought that God would use him, I wonder if Moses put that thought far from him?
I would think so.
How many in this room, and I don't need a show of hands, have ever done something in your life where you've determined or thought, God can never use me? But look what God can do. Turn to each other and say, look what God can do. He was at peace with his living. He's out in the desert. He's out in the wilderness place. And then God calls to him. And it's time for a new calling. That which represented the curse became an interesting place where God spoke out a blessing. Now watch. Thorns choke the seed. The Word of God. Mark chapter 4, verses 3 through 9, out of the New King James. Listen. In the New Testament, of course, if you want to turn to it, turn to it. Mark chapter 4, 3 through 9. Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. The birds of the air came and devoured it. Verse 5 of Mark chapter 4. Some fell on, read it with me please, stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth. Of earth. Ever seen anybody really excited for Jesus? Don't get established. They don't get founded in a church and they fall away from the Lord. They don't walk with Him. No depth. Stony ground. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. Verse 6, and because it had no root. Come on, say that with me. It had no root. It had no root. One more time. Boom it out. It had no root. How many believe having your foundations being rooted and established in the faith and in the Scriptures and the Word of God and in the house of God is essential to bearing fruit in Jesus. Verse 7. Some seed fell among thorns. Say it with me. Some seed fell among thorns. And the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Verses 18 and 19 of Mark chapter 4. Just go down a little bit if you're there. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. Remember, his disciples are like we are. They say, Jesus, we don't get it. And he says, parables. I'm going to talk to parables among those who are on the outside. But those of you on the inside, if you really got an ear to hear, I'm going to give you the understanding. That's why not everybody who hears a verse read understands it. All right, we need teaching, we need understanding, but we need the Spirit of God to quicken it. So if you belong to Jesus, he opens ears. These are the ones sown among thorns. They're the ones who hear the word and the, please say it with me, cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Watch this out of the message, those last couple of verses. This is fantastic. The seed cast in the weeds represents the ones who hear the kingdom news, but are overwhelmed with worries about all the things they have to do and all the things they want to get. The stress strangles what they heard. Say it with me, please. And nothing comes of it. Church, anybody in this room ever have stress? Come on, all God's children have stress. Come on, turn to each other and say, I'm feeling it now. No, don't do that. Stress, we feel it. That starts with S and, you know, stress. Thorns choke it. Thorns choke the Word of God and cut off the life of God or the ability of the Word of God to bring fruit in your life. Can you say with me, Jesus, I don't want to be unfruitful. I want my life to bear fruit in you. Anybody ever feel anxious about yesterday, about today, about tomorrow? How about, in this area, it sounds at times like, I wonder if I'll really have enough, and how long will I live, and that retirement and stock market goes up. And the stock market goes down. And if your spirit goes up and down with it, you got your trust in the wrong thing. Come on, someone say amen.
Amen.
Or oh no. If your soul is agitated when it goes down, you have your trust in the wrong thing. Now, you could be understandably upset. I just lost everything. That's upsetting. But if your trust is there, if you're anxious, have you given yourself to thorns that choke the Word of God? The word choke in the Greek is, and here's how it's pronounced, sumpenigo. Can you say it with me? Sumpenigo. Wear an umbrella if your neighbor's real close. Sumpenigo. And it means literally to strangle completely, to drown, to crowd. Just crowds out the life of God. Just drowns the life of the Spirit. You know, preachers for a long time have said the three things. Sex, money, and popularity are the areas where people have trouble as believers. Pride of life, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh. What has you twisted up with anxiety? Anxious thoughts, worries, frustrations. Can't sleep at night. Can't rest. Can't enjoy life and living. No happiness. Circumstances may fail you, but do you let them steal your joy? Now, lest you think I'm just looking at you, I just said to somebody yesterday, I'm finding sometimes happiness hard to come by. Come on. I'm just trying to be real with you here. You know, I would love to tell you. Let me just cut to the chase. But joy doesn't leave me. Because Jesus is my all in all. But my circumstances aren't always thrilling. You know, listen, I'm not going to be a phony baloney with you here. I'm not going to be, you know, a man of paste and flour, man of faith and power, paste and flour. I'm not going to be the kind of guy. I remember one time when my kids were young and one son just went through tubes after tubes after tubes in his ears. And I was grieved and we prayed for healing and believe in healing and believe the Word provides healing. And oh, God, do it. And I wouldn't see the fruit of that. And so thank God for doctors. We kept putting tubes in this little guy's ear. But we prayed for him for a year and a half, just gave him antibiotics till the little guy was going around and his speech was altered and affected because he couldn't hear. God's given us doctors too and a little bit of wisdom. Wake up. Oh, okay. But I remember being in a pastor's meeting where it came time for prayer. And I honestly said, would you please pray for me? My son's having his third sets of tubes. And this man looked at me and he was so arrogant. No, I'm not angry at him, though I may look like it right now. I forgive him. That man was so arrogant. He made me feel like I was that tall in the faith. I mean, he literally made me feel like a worm. Guess what I found out about 6 months later? His kids had to have surgery to have tubes put in their ears well before I ever even brought up the need. And I thought, Lord, help me never be that way with someone else when there is a need. We compassionately walk this road together. And we will exercise faith and we will pray and we will believe in the blood of Jesus and the power of what He's done at the cross. But we will walk these miles with one another when there are needs. Amen? So I'm not just saying you, I'm talking about me. When I look at these scriptures and I go, God, forgive me. Sometimes it doesn't steal my joy because my joy is in the Lord. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I get up every day and one foot in front of the other, though I may not always know the end of the journey. I know He is the ultimate end of the journey and I'll keep walking with Him. But sometimes circumstances aren't always cool. Five of you agreed with me and I'm so thankful. And sometimes we can get twisted up with anxiety, and it's not a shame, and it's not a sin to admit it. In fact, confession helps bring deliverance for the soul. But let's look at what Habakkuk said about it. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, Though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food, though the stock market may go up and go down, though I may lose my portfolio, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, say it with me, please, and boom it out. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like the deer's feet and make me walk on my high heels. Watch that out of the message. My high heels, not high heels. Sorry. Though the cherry trees don't blossom and the strawberries don't ripen, though the apples are worm-eaten, and the wheat fields stunted, though the sheep pens are sheepless, the cattle barns empty, I'm singing joyful praise to God. I'm turning cartwheels of joy to my Savior God, counting on God's rule to prevail. I take heart and gain strength. I run like a deer. I feel like I'm king of the mountain. I don't always use the message for all of these verses, but it's sometimes so helpful, as you found this morning, to give a perspective to the tenor of the scripture. Jesus, forgive me. How do we get there? You don't get there by reading a book. You get there by the Lord allowing your tests to become testimonies. Philippians 4, 11 through 13, Paul says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I've learned both to be full and to be hungry. To abound, to suffer need. I can do, say it with me please, all things through Christ who strengthens me. Luke 12, verse 27, I don't have up there. And the scripture says, consider the lilies, how God adorns them. Luke 12, verse 27, and if God will take care of the grass of the field so preciously, how much more will He care for you and for me? Number three, thicket of deliverance. Thicket of deliverance. Where else do we find thorn bushes or thickets that choke? Genesis 22, 5 through 14. In the first several verses, I'm just going to summarize. When Abraham was told he needed to go slay his son Isaac as a sacrifice on the altar. We don't read where Abraham complained against God. I'm sure he was filled with confusion. And yet, what did Abraham say? Yes, Lord, your servant hears. Here I am. And he gets They're hauling the wood out, and they go with others, and he says a statement of faith. He turns to the servants, and he said, you guys wait here. The lad and I will go worship, and we will come back to you. He had total faith that God would do what God said He was able to do. And so we read in the scriptures, and you can read it on your own, Genesis 22, verses 5 through 14. His hand is raised with the knife in his hand, and God says, wait! Now I know. You won't even keep the most important thing from me. I know you will obey me. And what did Abraham see over in a thicket or thorn bush? A ram with its horns caught in the thorns or the thicket. An adult male ram, the horn in the Bible spoke of authority, had utter authority, got twisted up, if you will, with the analogy of the thorns, the cares, the sins of this life, and became the sacrifice that allowed Isaac to go free. Who does that remind you of? Jesus. How many in this room are thankful for Jesus? Fourth and finally, and the message is called the crown of thorns. Jesus and the crown of thorns. Matthew 27, 27 through 29, the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium, gathered the whole garrison around him. They stripped him, put a scarlet robe on him, and when they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. They bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. They didn't believe in him. They were mocking him, abusing him, spitting on him, hitting him. And they took pains to take the time to weave together a spiked wreath. If you want to put that picture up, at the same time as Jeannie and Bill have been sweet enough to bring this, and I want to tell you, if you'll open that please, sweetie, this is probably the most accurate crown of thorns, biblically, I have ever seen. Remember, what Jesus went through is not like what it shows on the movies. Just hold it up, if you would, Jeannie. And I want you to see the length of the thorns and the literal spikes on this. Very similar to what you find there. Thank you, Jeannie. They didn't believe in it. They were mocking him. They took pains. You better believe they took pains, because if they didn't do it carefully, how many spikes do you think they wanted in their own hands? And in Palestine, in Israel, there are those kinds of bushes that are malleable enough to make into a wreath and sharp enough in their cruelty to create huge agony. They said all the words and had none of the meaning. Hail, King of the Jews, the Messiah. The Bible talks about people who have hearts far from Him, but who speak the words. This wreath, like an Olympian wreath or the Corinthian game wreath, they would run for a crown, only it wasn't spikes and thorns. This was thorns, piercing sin, choking off life. The result of sin, they wrapped it together like a crown and shoved it on Jesus' head. And Jesus bore it for you and for me. The crown of thorns means rulership and authority of the curse over my mind, heart, and life. But Jesus bore the crown of thorns, which means that which chokes the life of God, that which is the curse, was borne by Jesus, and you don't have to wear the crown of thorns anymore. Someone say, thank God. And when Jesus was resurrected from the dead, He didn't come out of the grave wearing a crown of thorns. Somebody say, hallelujah. What does that mean? Jesus said, it's finished. And He meant it for your mind as well. Church, we are full in society of people that give themselves to demonic thoughts, music, entertainment, movies, books, and then wonder why they have trouble. Jesus redeems us, but we've got to feed our heart and mind the right thing, the right food. But have you ever had piercing thoughts that come piercing through and you don't know where they're from and they're demonic? Well, where do you think they come from? Painful, wicked remembrances, thoughts that want to take you far from God. Where do you think they come from? Discouraging thoughts, depression thoughts, thoughts that lead to suicide. Where do you think they come from? They don't come from God. Jesus bore the crown of thorns so you don't have to shake your neighbor and say, you don't have to have those thoughts. If they aren't thoughts that are healthy and whole, then sometimes we need to lay hands on our own head and claim the blood of Jesus. Come on, church. You know the old phrase. You can't stop the birds from flying overhead, but you can stop them from building nests in your hair. Right? Come on, can you be honest with me? Anybody in this room ever had a bad thought? Come on, some of you are sitting there like, not me, are you kidding? Yeah, I bet you got a whitewash fence too, sure. Yeah, sometimes thoughts come. Where do they come from? Those aren't holy thoughts. Those are from God. Why do you think people are killing each other in the street? And why do you think you hear of these stories of 16 people getting massacred and people back home are saying, that's a nice guy. Yeah. Do you think that's God's work? No. Right now, there's a young man who's been responsible for a DVD or in a video that's gone and been seen by 80 million people online. He's a Christian man, and he did a video that shows the atrocities of some of the people in Africa and what they're doing to children. And that man yesterday was arrested because the pressure got to him. He's running naked through the streets. He's yelling, he's shouting, he's striking the ground, turning around, talking to somebody that's not there. Church, the devil tried to destroy Jesus and destroyed himself in the progress and the process, but he still tries to destroy you and me. Someone say amen. Amen. And he throws thoughts our way to try to destroy us. And that's the time you need to say, wait a minute, Jesus bore the crown of thorns, those piercing demonic thoughts, I reject them in the name of Jesus. I have the mind of Christ, and my mind is being renewed and transformed by the renewing of my mind into the image of Jesus. I claim the blood of Jesus. Wash my conscience and my subconscious right now. I'm clean by the blood of Jesus. Church, you've got victory over demonic thoughts. Jesus wore the crown of thorns. Watch what the scripture says, Philippians chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, come on, say it with me, would you? Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, that's what you spend your time thinking about. Yeah. Yeah. Meditate on these things. Listen, come on. anybody ever have anybody do them dirt? You heard about my story a little earlier. A little anger came out. Oh, forgive me, Jesus. Kevin, don't spend your afternoon thinking on that. Meditate on the good things. The righteous things. Let's see it out of a different version here. Out of the New Living. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what's true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. Think about things that are excellent. Worthy of praise. Oh, I like it so much. Let's do it one more time. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. Anybody ever get agitated? Look at each other and say, just settle down. Okay? It'll come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Summing it all up, dear friends, I'd say you'll do your best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Say it with me. I have the mind of Christ. Say it with me again. I have the mind of Christ. Say it one more time and boom it out. I have the mind of Christ. Say another phrase with me. I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus. I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus. If you need to lay hands on your own head during the daytime and you find yourself going down the wrong road with wrong thoughts, just do it. Keep your clothes on. Don't let anybody arrest you. But talk to Jesus and trust Him and proclaim the blood of Jesus. My heart goes out to that guy. I don't know what happened. I think they're not arresting him. They're calling it a medical breakdown. But the pressure that has come on him and the accusations about, oh, he didn't do it fairly, used money wrong. He did something that was in his heart to do. He had no idea it was going to take 80 million hits. Lord, watch over him. But the attack is in the mind. But Jesus took your thorns as he wore the thorn of crowns. Jesus has borne and destroyed the rulership of anxiety, the crown of thorns. Psalm 94, verse 19 says, and you don't have it over there, I know, Pat, in the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. Out of the New Living. When doubts fill my mind, your comfort gave me renewed hope and cheer. As we continue through Easter, I want you to be thinking of the different elements of what Jesus did for you. And today, appreciate even more that he bore your crown of thorns. And he's given you the mind of Christ. Stand, would you? If you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus, I urge you to surrender your life to the Lamb of God. He loves you so much. Ask him to come into your heart, to be your Lord and Savior, to wash you clean. In fact, let's all pray together. Lord Jesus, I come to you now. I surrender my life to you. Wash me clean by your blood. I repent of sin. I surrender to you. Be my Lord and Savior. Now lay hands on your own head.
Lord Jesus,
I receive the blood of the Lamb.
I receive the blood of the Lamb.
I have the mind of Christ.
And I have victory today.
In my thoughts.
In my thoughts.
Because you
were the thorn of crowns.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.